Took a little break last week and looked at, took some time to celebrate the kids of Riverside. This week we're jumping back in, and James is kind of in this sort of a unique spot. And he spent this first 18 verses talking about becoming strong, getting to where there's nothing that life can throw your way that you can't handle. Not that it'll be easy, but that you can handle whatever life throws your way, to become mature, to become powerful, to be able to spot temptation when it comes, to know how it works, and then to be able to change your focus so that you can kind of leave it behind. Not defeat it, but move past it into this whole new realm that James is talking about. Today, and next week, these 2 weeks, it's almost like James is saying, okay, before we go any further, you need to decide, are you in or are you out? This is what he says in James chapter 1, verse 19. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And then next week, we'll go on, he'll talk a little bit more about using the scriptures as a mirror to reflect, to reflect onto your life, to reflect how life should be, to look for yourself in the reflections of the scriptures. And so it's these two weeks sort of reminds me of the third step in 12-step programs, right? It's like, the third step is what a lot of people think. If addicts get that step, it's like recovery is assured. Because it's like that step is the tough one, right? Where you're like, okay, I will do whatever God asks me to do. Because the rest of those steps are going to be like, you got to make that choice, because the rest of the program is like, I've got to do what? You know, you're telling me to do this. Why would I do that? It's like, well, because you've already turned your life over to God. This is what that's going to look like. Same thing in James. James has talked about you becoming powerful, about you getting to where you are mature and ready to handle whatever life throws your way. And now he says, I'm going to spend the next 4+ chapters talking about how that's going to happen, how to make that a reality in your life. But before we get there, you've got to decide if you are going to, in humility, say, all right, I will submit my life to you and I will do whatever you tell me to do. And so what we're going to spend today looking at is kind of what that looks like, at least in my mind, how humility fits into that and the word that James is talking about, and hopefully it'll make more sense by the time we're done. But here's what James says. The first thing that I've got to do, right, is I've got to humbly accept the word that God has planted in my heart. That's what he says. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, it's like the accepting part is sort of like that decision, right? We all love feelings, right? We all love to have that feeling of connection with God. We're all searching for that, right? No, every dysfunctional thing a human being does, just about, I think, can be traced back to this concept that we're looking for this, for something that we feel like is missing. And I would love to say that this first step, that saying, okay, I accept, I'm in, that was automatically going to bring you a feeling. It might, but it didn't for me. It wasn't until a little later, and I'll get to that in a few minutes, that feeling of connection, that feeling of what was missing, started to sort of fill itself in my life. But this is an important part of this, all right? Humbly accepting the word that has been planted inside of me, even when people are hard to deal with. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept this word God has planted in your hearts, even when you're angry. Let's watch this.
Morning.
Hey.
You sleep all right?
No. You?
Say no, Phil.
Of course no. I missed you up there.
Last night, I know I got kind of carried
away. No, you don't need to apologize.
I don't think that I was apologizing.
You were right to be mad.
Sometimes I just feel like I have to scream to let you know how upset I am, but you get it now, right?
I do not. No idea whatsoever. Oh, if I knew, but no.
Good. So let's pretend the whole thing never happened.
What were we even fighting about, huh?
What the heck happened in here? The raccoon get through the dog door again?
Yep. The raccoon got in and your mom fought it off with the fire extinguisher.
You're a mess. Are you okay?
Careful, buddy. Not today. I think you look
Save
beautiful.
It.
How'd this thing come off anyway?
Well, I was cooking dinner and...
Right. And the raccoon just walked in.
And I already had the door open.
Right, which I'd already had a hold of the...
Why don't you two go work on your story and come back?
Now, we'll see in just a minute what led up to that morning, what happened the night before. But it all kind of revolves around this concept of human anger, right? Anger in and of itself is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, in many circumstances, anger is a sign of spiritual maturity. It just depends on what you're getting angry about. We were talking about this in men's breakfast yesterday. What's the difference between human anger, which doesn't produce the kind of life that God is looking for from us, and this other kind of anger that the Bible says God gets angry. Jesus got angry. But usually the human anger is always, I've been wronged, right? Somebody did something to me, and it makes me so mad, right? And we get, it's kind of ridiculous when you stop and think about it. But it's so natural, and sometimes it feels so good to get mad, you know? I don't know if you ever saw Rain Man, but in that movie with Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman, kept this note where he kept a record of every personal affront that had ever been, that he had ever had, done to him. And at one point, Tom Cruise just kind of grabs his arm and he goes, uh-oh, and he starts writing out, you know, physically grabbed and twisted my arm or whatever. You know, it's like he has this whole list of things, right? That have been done to him. And so even when we're angry, God says, you need to learn to deal with that. And James says that God will show you how, that he'll give you the power and the strategies, and as you work through that, you'll become stronger, but you've got to humbly accept this word that has been planted in your heart. Now, what does that mean, that the word has been planted in my heart? This is the only time that word, that Greek word that we've translated here, planted, shows up in the New Testament. And that's a big deal. There aren't very many of those. And every time that that happens, it's like biblical scholars sit up and look at that and they say, whoa, what's going on here? He used a word that's different than, you know, because if you've been reading through the New Testament on your own, you know that that word planted gets used quite often. Jesus uses it in his parable of the farmer and the seeds. Paul uses this analogy when he's talking about people having had the word preached to them. He says that when the word is preached, it's like somebody is planting a seed in our hearts. In Galatians chapter 6, he talks about you'll always harvest what you plant. And so that word gets used a lot, but it's different here than it is all those other places in the New Testament. Those other places in the New Testament, it's the idea of somebody mechanically taking a seed and putting it in the ground and covering it up and watering it and tending to it, and then it grows. This is more like this idea that nobody had to do the planting. It was already sort of ingrained. Oak trees create acorns, right? And the acorns create more oak trees. Charles Spurgeon, who was a famous Baptist preacher, held up an acorn one time before his congregation and said, inside of the cup of this acorn lies everything needed to cover the entire planet in oak trees. And what he was saying is that in that one acorn, you could grow one oak tree, and that one oak tree would create thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acorns over the course of its life, and those thousands and thousands and thousands of acorns would grow thousands more oak trees, which in turn, you know, and over time it could theoretically cover the planet in oak trees, right? But nobody had to teach that oak tree how to create acorns, right? It's just sort of, it's implanted in its genetic structure that it reproduces itself by making acorns. The acorns fall, the new tree grows, right? That's sort of the idea here about this word that has been planted in our hearts. Nobody had to put it there. It's part of who we are, all right? I'd never noticed this before in James, but you see it in a couple of other places in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says that the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, he says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. That they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts. See, what he's getting at here, have you ever wondered what happens to people in deepest, darkest Africa who never even heard the name of Jesus, who don't know what a Bible is, who don't know who God is? People in South America, people in China, people all throughout the world, billions of them over the course of history that have never heard of Jesus. Church I grew up in would have said, well, that's too bad for them. They're going to hell. And that always really, really bothered me. I thought, that doesn't sound like this loving God of the Bible who cares about us so much that he sent his own son to die for us. It doesn't seem like he would just, because nobody even had a chance to believe in him, that he would do something like that. And Paul here says he wouldn't. That there's a plan in place for those people. That, you know, it's kind of whispered throughout, almost like throughout the pages of the New Testament, that God cares about these people more than you or I ever could. They are in really good hands, okay? And so there's this word that has been implanted inside of them, inside of us. Even when you haven't never heard of it, there's something there that is able to lead you into this life that God has in store for us. But just that word that's been implanted within us, it's sort of vague. It's sort of hazy, right? It's like, yes, these people are able to somehow instinctively obey the law without even having ever heard it. But when you take that and you pair it with the word that has been implanted in the Bible itself, things start to really get clear, and things start to really get powerful. It's like this connection takes place, right? I think of it sort of like, you know, when you're someplace where there's no service for your phone, your phone's constantly looking. It's constantly sending out feelers, looking for some cell signal somewhere, right? And when you get into the range of that cell signal, all of a sudden it's like, it comes back up. You've got service again, right? And for a lot of people, they're like, oh, thank God, I'm back on, right? I'm connected again. That's sort of what I think happens when the word that's been implanted in me connects with that word that's been implanted in the Bible, and this connection is made. I see it here every once in a while. I'll be preaching along up here, and I'll see some of you are almost glowing, right? It's not like you've been around too much uranium or something. It's not like that. But it's like, it's the spiritual thing I've never been able to explain. I'll always look out, and I'll see it, and I'll think, oh, God's really having a conversation with that person right now, right? And it's not because you're like, you know, that I see quite often too. But no, the reason that it makes me think, it's like, I don't know, it's not like there's some difference on your face. It's like there's just, I don't know what it is, or at least I didn't know what it was. But I'm starting to suspect that what's going on there is that connection gets made. Every once in a while, that connection just happens. And people are connected to God in a way that we're not always connected. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 7, the Bible says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. That verse always made me feel vaguely uncomfortable because I didn't really understand what it means. Deep calls to deep. What is that talking about? It's in songs. It's in a song that we sing here at Riverside sometimes. And I'll sing the words, but I'm like, I've always felt like there's something there that I was missing, that I didn't understand. I talked to people, you know, Pastor Jeff, I was like, what's your understanding of deep calls to deep? And he told me what his understanding was. And I was like, you know, okay, but I still was like, I don't really know. I think I'm starting to get at least what part of it means. And I think it's what happens when the word that's implanted in the scriptures connects with the word that is implanted in you. And there's this connection that takes place that only happens when you humbly accept the word that's planted in you. Now, just because you say, okay, I'm in, I accept this word that has been implanted in me, give me the feelings, right? That's what I would love to do. I don't know about you. We all love those experiences. I remember the first night that I decided I am going to turn my life over to you. I will do whatever you say. You show me what to do, I'll take that step. I'll do it, right? I'm in. I wanted the heavens to part and light to shine down and angels to come floating down with harps and for there to be this connection, right? But I didn't feel it then. I didn't feel it until I went a little bit further. And that's this next step, this next part of humility. Number one, you humbly accept the word that's been planted in you. Number two, you humbly submit to that word. In other words, you actually start following through when God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. That's what James is doing here in kind of verses 19 through 25. He's going to say, are you guys in? Because I'm getting ready to share some stuff with you that is going to be a little bit, well, maybe not even a little bit, maybe a lot uncomfortable. And you are going to have the tendency to want to say, I don't think I'll do that one, right? I don't think I want to do that. And so to kind of get us started, he kind of throws out the first thing that God says, here's one of the things you need to do if you are going to become strong, if you're going to mature, if you are going to move forward in this life. In James 1, verse 19, he says, understand this, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I don't know about you, but most of the time, when I am starting to feel angry, I don't want to listen, right? I want the person to stop talking so I can tell them how it really is, right? That's the way that our natural instincts sort of go. And what James says is, if you're going to be a part of this life that God is calling you to, if you're going to do more than just sort of exist, if you're going to become strong, if you're going to become a powerful man or woman of God, if you are going to create the circumstances in your life where you are able to do things you never dreamed you could do and leave things behind you never dreamed you could leave behind, if you're going to do that, this is part of it, which is difficult because sometimes people can be real idiots. Let's watch.
How could you not know what she was mad about?
Because she didn't tell me. She just freaked out.
I cannot believe you, Phil! How could you?
What is happening? What did I do?
Are you serious? You are? You don't know. We've had this conversation 100 times. Yeah, no. No, I'm not doing this again. You tell me what you did.
Was it?
What?
No, Phil. No, 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 no. No, I'm
Claire.
Going to get some air.
Claire!
No, don't follow me.
Happy Valenbirth anniversary!
Storming off. Right out of your mom's playbook.
Hmm.
Where'd you go?
Well, as it turns out, not very far.
thought you were a raccoon.
You thought I was a raccoon because people look so much like raccoons. Oh, look, there's one now.
No! Wait a minute. Not even crazy woman go crazy for no reason. What happened before the broccoli?
That's just it. It came out of the blue. I walked in the door. We were having a conversation about nothing. Hey, honey.
Hi.
Sorry I got stuck at the office. How was your day?
It was good. Well, you know what?
What?
Debbie stood me up for lunch. Rude, right?
No, she called.
I didn't get a message.
Yeah, you did. I left you one. It's right there.
Uh-huh. That's it.
How is she supposed to see this? If you give me a message this tiny, I kill you.
But that's not when she got mad. Also, I talked to the insurance company about that little accident that wasn't your fault because the brakes weren't working right. And that's not going to cost us as much money as I thought, so that's good.
That's it. You insult a woman's driving and you use the air bunnies. You do that to me and I kill you.
I hear you, but the screaming still hadn't started yet. So I'm having lunch with Skip Woosnam, right? Guess who's sitting at the table next to us? My old girlfriend, Carla. Yeah, we're gonna grab coffee. She's lost a ton of weight.
How stupid are you? You tell me that you're seeing an old girlfriend and I...
Kill me, I know, but she still hadn't snapped yet. I almost forgot. I picked up the broccoli you asked for. Cauliflower. Can't believe I did that again.
I cannot believe you, Phil!
You didn't do one thing wrong. You do everything wrong. I don't even know why she talks to you.
She said she was okay.
No, no woman is okay with this. We don't forget. We wait. And then when you least expect it, we make you pay. Chin up.
Oh.
Up.
And I know what you're thinking. You're like, even when people behave like that, I'm supposed to be slow to speak and quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry? And James would say, yeah, maybe especially when people are like that. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't, Judy calls them meaningful discussions, right? We have meaningful discussions. At least that's what
we
did. Oh, I did, didn't I? But she's not here, see? She's not here. Nope, she's not here right now, so I'm okay.
She will hear.
Yeah, right, she'll hear. Yeah, actually she is, because this is the one that gets recorded. And she is like, when you get home, put it on there for me so I can hear it. So hi, honey, how you doing? All right. We have meaningful discussions. And, you know, our meaningful discussions, relationships, that's what they're supposed to do, right? They are supposed to shape us through the sort of friction, just like, jump down to that second scripture down there, Kevin. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says this, says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That's the way relationships are supposed to work, right? So being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry doesn't mean that you just let people do whatever they're going to do. But you think about it first, right? And it's like Covey, this is one of Covey's seven habits, seek first to understand, then to be understood. This is where he gets that habit, right? That habit of highly successful people. You seek first to understand, then to be understood. And so, yes, iron, our relationships are intended to sharpen us, right? And that only happens through conflict. I don't know if I want to say it like that, through friction, right? The same thing that God wants to do in your life through his word, connecting with the word in the scriptures, connecting with the word in your heart, right? And as he does, he's going to say, well, he's going to challenge you sometimes. He's going to say, you have weakness in this area, you need to get stronger here. He's going to contradict you sometimes through those scriptures and say, look, you've been doing this wrong. And so you need to start, instead of being slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry, we're going to turn that around. And a lot of us look at that and say, I don't know if I can. But see, that's how God turns you into the people that he dreamed of you becoming when he created you. The kind of people who change the world. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says that the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And that is not necessarily a fun process, okay? But it is absolutely crucial if you are going to become mature, if you are going to become powerful. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Stepford Wives. In Stepford, Connecticut, right? There was this movie that was about a town where, and I was never clear, do they kill the wives or do they just somehow brainwash them? I don't know exactly. But they turned their wives into basically people who'd never challenge their husbands, right? Never contradict their husbands. Anything their husband says, the Stepford wives just bat their eyes and say, yes, dear. But guys, I mean, even if you could turn your wife into a Stepford wife, would you do it? All right, I'm gonna give you another chance on that one, all right? Even if you could, no, we wouldn't, right? We're like, no, I would never do that. That would be horrible, right? But because that's not a relationship, that's a fantasy. And you would never, not only would you not become better than you are now, you would over time become worse and worse and worse. You're just selfish little toddler brat, right? That's what happens when there's nobody to contradict you. If you don't give God the ability, the permission to contradict you, to challenge you, to say, here's what I need you to do, even when you don't want to do that, then you don't have a relationship with the living creator of the universe. You've got a Stepford God, right? A God that just anytime you say, well, I don't want to do that, he just says, okay, well, if that would be uncomfortable for you, then by all means, don't do that. You know, that is not the God that James is talking about here, okay? James is saying, if you're in and you submit, humbly submit to the word that is implanted in the scriptures, then that word that's implanted in the scriptures will connect with the word that is implanted with you. And over time, those feelings that we want, those feelings of connection with God, you will develop those and you will experience them more and more and more. Like I said, when I first opted in, right, I was actually at a summer camp. I was 20 years old and I was like, okay, I'm in. And there were no feelings. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just start doing what I think I'm supposed to do. And as I did that, as I submitted to that word that was in the scriptures and let it connect with the word that was deep within me, although I didn't know that's what was happening, over time, those feelings came, those connections came. The more I do that, as a matter of fact, the more of those connections, the more often I feel it, I guess I would say. But you've got to decide, okay, I'm in. I'm going to turn my life over to him. And if that's something that you are interested in doing, we're going to talk about this again next week before we dive in and really get into all of these things that James is going to say, okay, so here's something you need to work on, and here's something you need to work on, and here's something you need to work on. It's like James is getting us ready by saying, okay, you need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. It's like the definition of humility, right? It's like saying, I am confident enough that I will allow you to say even things that I think are wrong, and I'll let you say what you have to say, I'll think it through, I'll try to understand it, and then I will try to help you understand my point of view, if that's appropriate. If you feel like, yes, I'm in, I want to do this, that's our first assignment. This week, practice being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes the things that you ask us to do are difficult. Sometimes they seem irrational. But Lord, as much as we can and as much as we know, we want to turn our lives over, humbly accept the word that you've planted within us, humbly submit to the word that you have implanted in your scriptures, and Lord, in so doing, become more and more like your son, become more and more mature, become more and more powerful as we move forward in this life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.